so much, Ravishantha. Great to be back here again, and continuing in our learning of Sugyos and understanding Sanhedrin, not just in Masechta Sanhedrin, but really trying to understand some fundamental ideas in terms of the makeup of Sanhedrin and how Sanhedrin functions. So I want to talk about a topic tonight that is both Lamaisa, but also starts much earlier as a kind of a really fascinating Sugya in the Gemara and the Rishonim. In terms of how to understand the Gemara that I said we kind of read last week, but we didn't read it really thoroughly. But it's in the same sugya that we read last week, and it seems very parenthetical, but it's actually a very essential discussion that comes in the Gemara. There are other Gemaras that talk about this topic as well. Perhaps the Gemara that we do next week, it also touches on this topic in a similar way. We're going to focus on it today through the Gemara here. So I'm going to share my screen with you. For those of you who want to get an actual Gemara, you're more than welcome to get an actual Gemara, but we're in Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Mishnah starts off, and again, we did this last week, Dine Mamonos B'Shlosha, the first Mishnah, the third parak, says that the laws of monetary laws are done with three judges, Zebor Lo Echad, V'Zebor Lo Echad, V'Shnei Bor Lo Od Echad. How does it work? So this one chooses one, and together they choose a third. That's different. Meir v'Chacham Omer, the Chacham say Shnei Dayan and Bor Lo Echad. And the Chacham say, no, the two judges together choose the third. Now, at the beginning of the Gemara, we kind of skipped this last time. But in the very beginning of the Gemara is trying to figure out what does it mean, Zebor Lo Echad, right? It should have said Zebor Lo Dayan, maybe. This one chooses a judge. What's the Lashon of Zebor Lo Echad? So the Gemara basically starts off, I'm going to just explain to you in order to understand the Gemara. The Gemara basically starts off by assuming that echad means a bezdin. So ask the Gemara, my zebor lo echad, the zebor lo echad. The Gemara says, why? Right, the very beginning of the Gemara, what does it mean? Why do we say that this one chooses a complete bezdin, the zebor lo bezdin echad, and this one chooses a complete bezdin, but tlasa sagi? Right, we only need three judges. We don't need nine judges. Right now, it sounds like we have nine judges. Each litigant choosing a set of judges themselves, and together choosing a third set of judges. That's nine judges. Ask the Gemara, but tlasa sagi? It should be enough of just three judges. And answers the Gemara Hachikamer. This is what it's saying. Kish Zebor Lo Beis Nechad. When this one chooses one court, Zebor Lo Beis Nechad, and this one chooses a second court, Shnei Bor Lo Echad, together they'll come and decide on the third court that'll actually judge the case. And basically what the Gemara thinks right now, again, just important to understand the flow, the Gemara thinks right now that each litigant's going to choose a set of judges, and together, those litigants are going to choose a third set of judges, which will ultimately judge the case. The Gemara is going to have two questions on this, but we're only going to focus on the first one. The Gemara asks, "Vafilo love matzi ma'akev?" The Gemara says, "Well, what do you mean? Even the borrower is allowed to be ma'akev, is allowed to stop the other person from choosing a judge? How is that possible? V'amar Rabbi Eliezer, did Rabbi Eliezer say, lo shanu ella malve, only the malve can protest against the courts. Ava love kopeno selva dan beiro. But the love, we forced him to be judge in the city of the malve. The Gemara's question is as follows. In general, right, we have in a case of monetary law, the most classic case is a case of a lending, right, a lending from one to the other. And the Gemara is saying that generally we assume there's a concept, Rashi quotes this concept, that eved love le'ish malve, that generally we assume that a borrower is like enslaved, quote unquote, to the lender, meaning that the lender should always have the upper hand because we want to encourage people to loan money to other people. We want people to be lending money to each other. There are many laws, right? The idea of prizbal, you write prizbal. There are many laws. There's a whole idea in the Gemara, which actually we probably will do next week, which is that shalot tinal delas b'nei lav, and we don't want to close the doors to people who are doing loans. We want to encourage people to lend money. So we want to make things easier for people to lend money. Therefore, says the Gemara, in general, we have a concept that we don't let the loved, the borrower, dictate the terms. The lender dictates the terms. So the Gemara wants to understand, if you're assuming that the case is that each one chooses their own court, and together they're going to negate each other's court and choose a third court together, so ask the Gemara, well, how's that true? Why is the borrower allowed to be ma'akev, allowed to stop the judgment from the court of the malva? And the Gemara answers, this is going to be our focus of the whole shir, the Gemara answers, I'm highlighting it for you now, Kidar Amar of Yochanan Barkoz Shebesur Yashan. Rav Yochanan says, no, you don't understand. We're talking about the Arkos Shebesur. we're also talking about here of these arkos in Surya, these courts in Surya. Aval mamachin lo, says the Gemara, if these people were experts, then that would not be the case. Meaning, if the judges were experts, we would not allow the lovet to negate the judges of the malva. That's the Gemara's point. What we're going to focus on today, the entire shir really, is what exactly does it mean, arkos shebis Surya? What are these courts in Surya that we're referring to? So clearly the Gemara contrasts them to mumchen. It contrasts them to experts. But again, I'll make this point a few times, but generally when the Gemara makes that comparison, it compares the language as hedyotos to mumchen. Right? Generally the language of the Gemara is a hedyot, we'll call it a simpleton, to a mumche. Why does the Gemara here talk about arkos shebis Surya? And what exactly are these arkos shebis Surya? That's going to be our discussion really today. So if you look at Rashi, I'll highlight the Rashi over here on the top here. So Rashi says, what does it mean, these arkos shebis Surya? So Rashi says, shelo hayu bekiyin bedin Torah. They were not experts in the laws of Torah. Hilkach afilu lo amatzi ma'akev. Therefore, even the lova is allowed to be ma'akev. Now, when we read that Rashi, we may just say, yeah, that's obvious. That's what the Gemara said, that the shelo hayu bekiyin bedin Torah. But before I even explain Rashi, I want to show you a different Gemara, which I think a different understanding of the Rishonim that may highlight why I say this Rashi is not so obvious. So I'm going to put a different thing on the screen now. Here, if you look at the first source here I put on your screen, it's the Nemuka Yosef. The Nemuka Yosef's language is as follows. What does it mean, Arkos Shebisuria? Mean of the Gemara by Arkos Shebisuria. The Gemara establishes this about the Arkos Shebisuria. Shehem hedyotos, these are hedyotos, these are simple people. She'en yodin din Torah, they don't know the laws of the Torah. Elisha hurgalu ladon, rather they are accustomed to be judging. Now, that to me, right, sounds very different than Rashi, right? If that language sounds very different than Rashi, I would even say if we were in person, I would definitely ask you to tell me what you think the difference between Rashi and Rashi and the Nemuka Yosef, but I'll just tell you for the sake of the Zoom and the difficulty of the interaction, I'll tell you what I think is the difference between the two, and you'll tell me if you disagree, you're more than welcome to speak up. According to Rashi, what it sounds like is as follows. These people are not experts, and you know what? If the Malva, right, chooses a court of people who aren't the top-tier judges, right, so then the Malva is allowed to say, listen, you know, that those judges are not acceptable to me. I want to go to a court of expert judges, right? So, l'masha, l'maya davardom, right? I would say this, and it's not a humble mashal, it's a serious mashal, right? If somebody said, you know, I choose Greyjauer as my judge, right? So it wouldn't be ridiculous for someone to say, listen, Greyjauer's a nice guy, but I want Rav Schechter as my judge. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying this at all. I'm saying this actually very seriously, right? I'm a hedyot compared to Rav Schechter, and that's not humility, that's honesty, right? So if you would say, right, if someone would say, listen, Greyjauer's a nice guy, but I don't want to be judged in front of him. I want to go to a real expert. I want to go to a mumfa. That seems reasonable. And what the Gemara is saying, according to Rashi, the way I understand Rashi, is, you know what? If you have a choice, if the Lova says, I don't want to go in front of a simple, regular judge, not the key in Bedine Torah, he's not an expert in the laws of Torah, I want someone who's an expert, okay, so then that seems reasonable. I want to go to a mumcha. But if you read the Nemuka Yosef's language, it doesn't sound that way at all. The Nemuka Yosef's language was, we're not dealing with someone who's done Dine Torah, but he's not an expert. I'm going to go back to the Nemuka Yosef's language again so you could see it inside. The Nemuka Yosef says, what are these hedyotos? She'ain yodin din Torah. They don't know the laws of the Torah. Then why are they judging? They are accustomed to be judging. I mean, these are the people that we are used to them judging, but not necessarily, to be clear, that these people are even done on din Torah at all. The way I understand the Nemuka Yosef, and just to speak it out very clearly, the machlokas Nemuka Yosef and Rashi, according to Rashi, I think, the arkos shebis Surya were done dine Torah. They were done based on what they understood to be the laws of Torah. They weren't experts in it. They weren't the top level people who knew Din Torah really well. So now, yes, we want someone to judge the courts. If they're going to use Din Torah, that's great. It's better than nobody, right? But if we have experts, we're going to go to experts. According to the Nemuka Yosef, it sounds like they're not using Din Torah at all. These people are judging based on the way that they understand the law, right? You bring a case before them, right? Just give a classic monetary law case, right? So again, one guy goes over to the other and says, you owe me $1,000. And he says, no, I don't owe you $1,000, right? So again, any one of us here on this Zoom call, right, could probably figure out how to try and figure this out. Let's bring testimony. Are there documents? Are there witnesses, right? All of us here, seriously speaking, right, could probably do a decent job of trying to figure out what the law is. And you know what? With the more experience that we have, probably the better that we get at figuring out what the proper steps are to take. But that's not Din Torah per se. That's using Seichel. That's using our own logic, our own understanding to kind of come to a judgment. And I think what comes out of this Rashi and this Nemuk Yosef is a fascinating machlokas, exactly who these Arko Shebesuria were. Arko Shebesuria, people who are trying their best to be Dan Dine Torah, they just don't know it that well. That's Rashi. Or Arko Shebesuria, people who know, they don't know Din Torah at all, right? But they're Dan Alpi their Seichel. Now, why do I say that's very important? Because if we branch out of the context of this sugya, we think a little broader for a second, right? So this sugya is talking about if somebody's coming along and says, I don't want these people to be my judges. But the assumption of the Gemara is that if someone doesn't complain, let's say they don't complain, right? Everybody says, let's go to the Arko Shebesuria. Both litigants agree, right? We're in Din Torah, right? I say you owe me $1,000. You say you don't owe me $1,000. Okay, let's go to the Arko Shebesuria, right? So it seems pretty clear in the Gemara, that's fine. Nobody's protesting that the Arko Shebesuria works for a judgment. And if that's the case that it works for a judgment, I would even go further and say, this is Din Torah, right? This is a Din Torah. It's considered a Jewish court. And the fact that you go in front of these people and they judge you, that just seems to be the mashmalas of the Gemara. Now, if that's the case, it's very important to understand what exactly this Arko Shebesuria is. Because if you look down, sorry, we're going to skip ahead and go back. If you look at source 4 on the source sheet here, the first pasuk in Parashat Mishpatim says, "Eila mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem." The pasuk at the beginning of Parashat Mishpatim says that these are the laws that you should put before them. Now, who's the them? So the them seems to be the expert Jewish courts. And the Gemara in Gittin Adaf Pei Chesem Abayz says, "Eila amishnosh tasim lifneihem." The Gemara says, "Lifneihem velo lifnei akum." It has to be in front of them and not non-Jewish courts. "Lifneihem velo lifnei hedyotos." Before them, and not before hedyotos, and not before the people who are not expert judges. And there's a big discussion in the Rishonim, and the Achronim actually, in terms of who these hedyotos are that we're referring to. What are these cases of these hedyotos that we're referring to, number one. Number two, is the din of a hedyot the same thing as the din of an akum, right? It sounds from the way the Gemara darshins it, lifneihem excludes two groups. It discredits the non-Jewish courts, and it discredits the hedyotos, right? And are those two groups equal or not? There's a whole sugya which we're not going to do on the concept of going to a secular court. I'll just say briefly, whenever I teach this, it's just important to note, right? There is an isser to go before non-Jewish courts for our judgments. If we have a judgment between two Jews, the halacha is we're really supposed to go to a beis din, right? Even again, certainly if we're dealing with obviously gittin and kedushin and those areas of law, but even in monetary law, we're supposed to go in front of a beis din. It's often, unfortunately, people either don't even know that a beis din exists, or they certainly don't want to go before a beis din. I remember many years ago, about 12 years ago now, I had a monetary dispute, not a major monetary dispute, but it was a few $1,000 monetary dispute, and I asked someone what I should do, and he said you should go to beis din. So I spoke to the other person that was involved, and I said, okay, you know, I spoke to my rav, and he said to go to a beis din. And the other person literally, lambasted me and said, who are you to think we're going to go to a beis din? You think the rabbis know the laws of, you know, monetary, you know, do they know what's going on? They don't know anything about business. They don't know anything about these things. And again, that attitude is certainly not the attitude that a Jew should have. And it's 100% incorrect. So of course we go to a beis din. We should follow the beis din whenever we can. Right, when it comes to any law, even Mamana's cases, and there certainly is a issur in the Torah of going before non-Jewish courts without reason. Now, again, there are exceptions, there are different cases, we may have lawyers on this call, I'm not saying that there are definitely cases where you can go to a non-Jewish court, but it should be emphasized that the halacha is ideally you should be going to a Jewish court. But either way, right, not a Jewish court means not lifnei hedyotos. So if you look at the Ramban there on the Pasuk, the Ramban writes as follows. The Ramban says, even though we list these two groups as one group, there's a difference between going before non-Jews and going before non-experts. Why? Says the Ramban, because if two litigants want to go in front of a hedyot, that's fine. And if they accept upon themselves that judgment, their judgment is good. Avlif Neha Knanim, Asurim Him Laval Lafanim, Shialim Binayim Lolan. But to go in front of non-Jews, says the Ramban, even if you accept upon yourself, that's not allowed. And even if their judgment will come out the same exact thing as our judgment, still the halacha is you're not allowed to go in front of a non-Jewish court. You see from the Ramban, right, that if you have a Jewish court, even if they're not experts, and the Torah says you shouldn't go to non-experts, again, if you accept upon yourself to go before non-experts, that's fine. And if you look at Rashi in that same place, Ala Torah, beginning of Parsha Shpatim, source number 6, so Rashi says, Lifnehem, below Lifnei Gayim, not before the non-Jews, Vafilu Yadat B'din Echad, Shem Danan Oso G'dini Yisrael. Even if you know that they're going to be done G'dini Yisrael, Al Tavi'u Bar Ko Shalahem. Do not bring your judgment in their court. Shehamevi Dine Yisrael Fnei Gayim Echal Es Hashem. Because if you bring your judgment before non-Jews, you're being Mechal Es Hashem, you're disgracing Hashem, Miyaker Shem Avodah Zarah La'achshiva. And you're elevating, you're giving status to the Avodah Zarah to make it seem worthwhile. Shenamar kilo kitzurinu tzuram vayivenu plilim. Right, our judge, our God is not like their God, right? Our enemy should be knocked down. Shayivenu plilim zeo edas li'ila yurasam. Right, that we're elevating again for their gods and their fears. Right, so meaning that the idea is, the Rashi explains it a little clearer than the Ramban. Right, if we're bringing our judgment in front of the non-Jewish court, says the Rashi, right, we're elevating their avodah zarah. Now it's interesting to talk about two points from this Rashi. We're going to focus on one of them, but we'll make both points. Point number one that we're not going to focus on is perhaps Rashi is telling us again. We're not going to be doresh time of the crowd. We're not going to say the reasons for a pasuk, but it's pretty clear from Rashi that the idea is that you're going to elevate their avodah zarah. In which case, if it's a case like an American court, but there's no avodah zarah involved, the non-Jewish court in our country is not based on any idol worship. You're not elevating any idolatry, right? Just based on secular law. So that may be different. Number one. But number two, what you see from Rashi is the Ramban really explained very clearly, which is, of course, non-Jewish courts, we have an issue fundamentally with going to non-Jewish courts. When it comes to a Jewish court of non-experts, though, the fundamental issue seems to be they don't know the law as well. They don't know the correct halacha. But again, if you choose to accept upon yourself their judgment, so Rashi, I think, would agree with the Ramban. There's no Chil Hashem in that case necessarily. There's definitely no B'miyak Yashim Avodah Zarah. You're not elevating any Avodah Zarah. Which is, if you choose to go to a court of non-experts, it would seem to be okay, according to the Ramban, for sure, he says it explicitly, and even according to Rashi, perhaps, we would say that's okay. Now, before we read the Ramban, we're going to jump back and forth a little bit. I'll pause and I'll take a breath, actually take a sip. If anyone has a question, you can ask a question. I'm going to take a sip of my drink. Okay, so now let's come back to our Gemara for a second. Right, so we said in our Gemara that the Arkoa Shebesuria, we have Machlokas Rashi and the Nugi Yosef, Arkoa Shebesuria, judging based on secular, on their own judgment and not Dinei Torah at all, like the Nugi Yosef, or are they judging based on Dinei Torah? They're just not experts in Dinei Torah. So there's a fascinating Chazanish. The Chazanish, just so if we know, the Chazanish lived in the early 20th century. He passed away in 1953. The Chazanish was probably the loudest voice of the Haredi Jews, in Eretz Yisrael, speaking out against Zionism and speaking out against the establishment of the State of Israel from the Haredi point of view. And that point is not, I'm not making that at random right now. I'm making that point because it's very much connected to this Chazanish right here. I believe, I'm not 100% sure what I'm about to say, but I believe the Chazanish wrote this point as actually a statement against the establishment of the secular government in the State of Israel. And when we read it, again, that's why I say the history here is important, because as we read it, it's going to be very clear that he seems to be talking out against the establishment of the Israeli secular government in Israel at the establishment of the State of Israel. So what does he say? He says the following. Right? He's talking about our Gemara of the Arkoa Shebesuria. Even if you say that there was no judge amongst them that knew the Mishpatei Torah, like the Nemuki Yosef said, umichratam lehimanos bal seichel fimosrei adam, and they're forced to establish bal seichel, someone who's intelligent, fimosrei adam, according to the practice of man. Now, just to be clear, sorry, there's one point I apologize that I need to say clearly, because the Chazanish is coming to explain that in our Gemara, it's not just a regular case where you happen to chance upon three simpletons and ask the judge. The Arkos Shebesturia, that language of Arkos, is an established court. these people that the Namuk Yosef say do not judge based on Dinei Torah, those people are established as judges in their cities. These are the regular people who judge. I said Shahur Gululadam. They are the people that are normally judging. So just to clarify, we have Jews consistently going to people who don't know the laws of Torah to be their judges. So says the Chaznish, even though that's true, that you're going to have people who are going to be consistently judging in Jewish courts, not based on Torah law, says the Chaznish as follows. Einam rishon lekabel aleihem chukei amim o lechokik chukim. Nevertheless, they're not allowed to accept upon themselves the chukei amim, the laws of the non-Jews, o lechokik chukim, or to make their own set of laws. Shashofek kol din shalafano fi anirei lav. Because someone who judges every judgment that comes in front for him the way he sees it, zel bechal pshara, says the Chaznish, that's a pshara, that's like a compromise. Ve'ein niker hadavar she'azu makor mayim chayim, lach zoboros nishbarim. And it's not clear, says the Chaznish, that they've abandoned the source of our mayim chayim, right, our living Torah, to dig, right, he has a beautiful language, to dig these, like, basically these broken, empty pits. Avalim yaskim ha'chukim. Let's say they are maskim on these chukim, are mechalalim es haTorah. They're disgracing the Torah. And says the Chaznish, Baal zeh nemar asher tasim lepneihem, v'flo lepnei adyotos. And that's what the Gemara means, right? That, well, that's what the Gemara means, that makes a drasha, that you go before them and not lepnei adyotos. Says the Chaznish, it's the following split, right? If you go before adyotos in an individual case, where these people say, listen, we have no choice. There's no one who knows Torah here. We need someone to judge our case. We trust you, right? And if you're living in a city, which makes a lot of sense in the time of the Gemara, right, where you were in a city where there were mamish, no people who knew Torah, right? Nowadays, it's hard for us to understand this because we have so much connection, you know, between the world, and we rarely have communities now of Amoratim the way they had back then. We really do. We rarely have communities nowadays where there's nobody who knows any Torah. But back then, it was actually more common. When people didn't travel between cities, you could have cities where people really knew no Torah. So says the Chaznish, to have a city where people say, listen, we don't know the laws of Torah, but we need someone to judge our cases, okay, that's okay, as long as each case you realize you're judging a case by case. But to establish a set of rules, that these are going to be our standards for how we judge every single case in the Jewish court that's not on based on the laws of the Torah, says the Chaznish, that's the drasha of the pasuk, lifnehem lofnei adyotos. And he says, therefore, in the next paragraph, and now there's going to be no nafkamina. There's no difference if these people are non-Jews or they're Jews who judge based on these false set of laws. And then he says, furthermore, hadavar yoser maguna. This is actually even more disgusting. Because what have they done? They've rebelled against the laws of the Torah in order to elevate these mishpatei hevel, right? These laws of people that's emptiness. And says the Chaznish, again, I'm not here, I'm never here to talk about the halacha lemaisa in terms of the application. But the lumdus that the Chaznish says is beautiful. The lumdus that the Chaznish says, right, is that the whole drasha of lefnehev lefnehejotos means, right, the lumdus means that we can't establish laws that are different than laws of the Torah. And therefore, when he wrote this, again, I'm pretty confident in what I'm saying. It definitely makes sense in what he's writing and in the time period that he lived. He published his sefer, I think, a little bit before 1948. But I think what he was writing was based on the same ideas in anticipation of the establishment of a Jewish state in Israel, which was well before 1948. And he was saying that for Jews to establish laws based on their own thoughts or based on secular laws, that's actually much worse than just a standard case of someone who comes before a non-Jewish court and gives a psach. Someone comes before a court of hedyotos and gives a psach. Coming before a court of hedyotos and giving a psach, says the Chaznish, that functions like a pshara. That's like a compromise. Okay, you're doing the best you can with the faculties and the knowledge that you have. But to establish a court based on the laws of non-Torah laws, says the Chaznish, that's going to be a problem of neaplan of hedyotos, and that is certainly Asr Daraisa, and you cannot go before that court. It's interesting, just to look in the Rishonim for a second. If you look in the Me'iri in source number 3, I happen to think the Lumdus of the Chaznish is very nice. The Me'iri is certainly against the Chaznish. He's beferish against the Chaznish. If you look in the Me'iri in source number 3, he says the following. Right? And that we stand the Gemara by loans, like they asked, Afilu Lova. They said, even the Lova's in Maki, we see it, the Gemara thought this case of loans. Vikrari Rarnu, Shalvos, Ain Sriach and Mumfin. Right? Says the Meiri, and this is based on a Sugya on the Gemara and Davbez and Mabez, says the Meiri, we know that a case of a loan doesn't need Mumfin. So why is the, what's the Chedesh of the Gemara? Says the Meiri as follows, that's a Tzarech Lefarish, She'enam Mumfin Bekan, She'enam Yodim, She'enam Hegunim. Right? You have to explain that the non-mumfin here, she'enam yodim she'enam hagunim, they don't know that they're not proper. But who shekinu l'dayti goli harabanim b'gemara? And this is what Rashi meant, bar kosha b'suria, shaloi b'kiyam b'din Torah. What does that mean they're not experts in din Torah? The Me'iri understood Rashi to mean the following, eladanin la'omed hadas u'bechukim v'nimusim. They're judging according to their own omed das, the way they evaluate, but then he writes, u'bechukim, with the existing laws of a nimusim is like the common practice of the culture. The lashon of a nimus in the Chazal and in the Rishonim always means to reference to the culture of the place where they live. And it seems very clear from the Meiri that the way he actually understood Rashi in our Gemara, which is the way that we understood the Muki Yosef in our Gemara, but the people who are judging in these towns in the Arkosh or Basuria were certainly relying on what they knew from the secular law, right? They were basing their laws based on the Chukim and the Nimusim, what they understood of the laws of the secular country. And therefore, the Meiri is certainly bearish against this Chaznish, again, that the Arkosh or Basuria actually were judging based on the laws of their town. And nevertheless, right, we rely on them. And if you look at the Rambam in source number 7, then we'll kind of sum it up, and I'll try and give a little bit more of an explanation to all this. If you look at the Rambam in source number 7, the Rambam says as follows: Kol hadan b'dinei hagoyim v'arkosh alehem, anyone who does a judgment with the non-Jews or in their courts, afal pi shehayu dinei k'dinei Yisrael, even though their judgment is like the law of the Jews, har yisrael rasha. It's a rasha ki charaf v'harim yad b'torah Moshe Rabbeinu, as if he raised his hand against the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shnei ravim v'shatim asher sim lefneihem. These laws you should put before them, lifnehem, before them, lifnehem, 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 hedyotos. Before them, not before the non-Jews, lifnehem, lifnehem, hedyotos, before them, and not before the hedyotos. Now, in the Rambam in general, I will admit, it's hard to make a diak always when he quotes the complete drasha of Chazal, because maybe he's just quoting the complete drasha, because that's how the Gemara writes it. But if you were to ask me, it seems strange for the Rambam to end with the drasha, lifnehem, lifnehem, hedyotos, right? He should have just said, shnemar, lifnehem, lifnehem, hedyotos, right? Because the pasuk says you have to go before them, not before Gayim. It could be, right? It could be that the Rambam knows Meduya like this Chazanish against the Meiri, which is that it's not just when you rely upon the Gayim that it's a problem, but anytime you rely on a law system that's not based on Dine Torah, right? Anytime you're going to rely on a law system that's fundamentally not based on Dine Torah, but it's based on another law system, that itself is a problem of Lifnehem. Again, it could be that's the pshat. I'm not convinced fully that's the pshat, but certainly it sounds more like the Chaznish from the fact that he quotes the whole drasha, even though he's talking about the non-Jewish courts here. It could be that that's how the Rambam read the Gemara, but either way, it's clear the following, and then this is what I want to go over. It's clear that the Arkosh of Asuria, we had these courts in the times of the Gemara that were judging, at least according to some Rishonim, if not according to all Rishonim. There were courts in the times of the Gemara that were Jewish courts, but judging not based on Dine Torah, or judging based on their own Seichel, or judging based on the laws of that time. And again, it's a fascinating thing to have, right, a Jewish court established based on those laws. And we understand, right, there's two possibilities as to what that means. One possibility is what the Chaznish is presenting, which is that no, they were established judges, but what it means that they were judging based on their own Seichel, it just means that every case was like a Pshara. When we say this is a Jewish court, it wasn't really a Jewish court in the sense they were judging based on Dine Torah, yes, but since they didn't create their own law system, right, that wasn't going to be a problem. As opposed to the way the Meiri writes Beferish very, very clearly, that no, even if they established a law system, even if they were basing themselves on the secular law of that time, right, that's still considered to be a Jewish court. It's still going to be a judgment of the Jewish people because it's a bunch of Jews in the court system, and that makes it okay. Perhaps, again, just to explain that in the Lamdas, perhaps that Lamdas is based on the Rashi and the Ramban and this Rambam that we saw. What's the drasha of Lefneim Lefnei Hedyotos? If you assume the drasha of Lefneim Lefnei Hedyotos means that it has to be Din Torah, and if it's not Din Torah, that's a problem, then you should say even if it's a Jewish court that judges based on secular law, you have a problem. Then you assume Lefneim Lefnei Hedyotos was the way that Rashi said, that Lilith Ne'akum was that it's going to be a Chilul Hashem because you're elevating the non-Jewish system. So again, Hejotos is not an elevation of the non-Jewish system. Yes, it's not ideal, it's not in the Torah law, but it's not an elevation of the problem. And the Nafkamina, just so we understand the Nafkamina is a huge Nafkamina halacha l'maisa. I am certainly not one to offer any opinion on the matter, but the halacha l'maisa Nafkamina is a huge halacha l'maisa Nafkamina in terms of how we understand the secular courts in Israel nowadays. Because Israel nowadays, we have courts that are 100% Jews. These are Jewish people who are running these courts. And it is also 100% not a Jewish legal system. The system of judgment that is used in the state of Israel, by and large, when it comes to law, certainly monetary law, the secular court in Israel is based not on Jewish law. It's based on the laws of a Western culture. It's based on a whole law system that they've created, right? But the law system that they've created is not based on Torah in any way, shape, or form. And what comes out of that is a machlokas. It sounds funny to say this, but it comes out of machlokas, the Chaz Nisha and the Meiri, really, right? It's funny to say that because they lived many, many, many hundreds of years apart. But it seems to come out of machlokas, the Chaz Nisha and the Meiri. Again, how do we view the secular court nowadays in Israel? According to the Chaz Ish, it's very clear that he was stating explicitly that a secular court in Israel is an Isser Daraisa to be judged in front of them. And that has the status of Lefnei V'Lefnei Adyotos, the way that the Drasha and the Gemara says. And according to the Meiri, I would argue that again, even according to the Meiri, to state clearly, ideally, you should go to a Din Torah, 100% according to the Meiri, as well as any posting that you would ask nowadays, you should go to a Din Torah based on the halachas of the Torah, even if you're dealing in monetary law, you should 100% go to a Beis Din. But if you chose to go to a secular court in Israel nowadays, which is a court of Jews, judging not based on Jewish law, so according to the Meiri, that would seem to be not a problem of Lefnei V'Lefnei Adyotos, that would be fine, because even though they're using secular law to use their judgment, since the Jewish court is not going to fall under that Isser. It would seem to be that would come out as, again, a very important halacha l'maaseh nafkamina, not to be stated differently, though I just want to be clear, not to be misunderstood. Ideally, everybody agrees. There's not one opinion that doesn't agree. You should go to a Beis Din of Jews judging based on Din Torah, but if you chose to go to the secular court in Israel, would that be a violation of this pasuk in the Torah of Nehem V'Lefnei Adyotos? It seems to be a machlokas, the Chaz Nisha and the Meiri, in terms of how we would understand that. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining.
Thank you for the share.
Thank you, Yoshko.
Thank you, Yoshko. Very nice. Have a good night, everybody.
See you tomorrow, Kollel Shir, at 3:00.
Rabbi, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Could you say that being judged by